But as I begin to look at the idea of giving thanks and saying thank you, Paul's letters are pretty cool about that, because Paul really thanks people. Is Philippians in the New Testament? Yeah, there it is. All right. I thought I was losing my mind. But Paul continually gives thanks, and we come to the thing that he thanks the church for most, and it's his people. The book of Philippians, real quick, is probably Paul's letter with the least amount of correction. He writes it from prison, and it is a thank you letter. The whole letter is a thank you letter. He's thanking the Philippian church. They had sent one of their leaders there with money. I guess it was October, because it was Apostles Appreciation Month. And they sent him with money there to take care of Paul while he was under house arrest. And so when he sends the minister back, he sends this letter with him, and we call it the Book of Philippians. And he writes to him. He opens it up, thanking God every time he thinks of them. He thinks with joy. It's really a heartfelt letter. He does do a lot of teaching in it, especially chapter 2 about Christ and who he is. But in chapter 4, he sums it up, and I want to read some things like this. Do we have a picture of my joy and crown? Do we have that picture? Yeah, there's my joy and crown, and I don't know how well you can see it, maybe not too well. But the amazing thing is it's 8 years, and it made a little bit of difference. The first one we're dressed up, Matthew's the British soldier, and Matthew's the pirate. And I found a wig. So I don't know what I was, but I thought it was. And then this was last week. And the first picture came up on my Facebook memory. And then I thought, well, that's weird, because I just took this picture with the boys last week. But if I could say one thing, and I think all of us as parents, I just wanted to have a picture and brag on my boys and work it into a sermon. No, but we all do that. You wait till I have grandkids if you're around. I have to ask forgiveness for making fun of all you guys all the time. But really, when we think about it, all that counts is our family. Whether it be our children, our grandchildren, or one another. That's all that counts. And as a man living in America, sometimes I've got that wrong. And so have you guys. Our careers, our things, our pastimes. You know, when's someone going to think of me? Guess what? They probably won't. All right? And that's okay. And when it's all said and done, and, you know, I'm in a line of work, if you want to say, where I deal with death quite a bit. And I've had to do some of those funerals here. And, you know, probably will do others. And I've been at funerals where people didn't think about their family. It's a really bad place to be. I've been at funerals where people have had a lot of money to give away, and everybody's fighting about the money they give away, you know. And listen, all that counts are our relationships with one another. And Paul didn't ever probably dream. I mean, he might have known. Who knows? He's got it now. What he was writing was going to last 2,000 years. But in the writings of Paul, he continually thanks God for the people. And, you know, that's my joy and crown. That's my legacy there. But, you know, sometimes I just have to tell the boys, get, and that's our sermon. The first one is get along. But we're going to look at this. And even though in relationships, there's some really basic advice he gives to these people. But let's read the entire first 9 verses here. And then we're going to go back. We're going to fill in the blank. And I want you to go back this week, because I'm not going to get too detailed about it. But I want you to think about these things in your own life. He says, chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends. So he thanks God for them, and he says, here, I'm going to give you some advice on how to hang on. You know, the victory, the breakthrough, you know. Here's what Paul says to them. And these are people he loves to death. And these are people that love Paul. They were concerned. They sent a man 800 miles. You know what 800 miles was like in the first century to travel? I mean, they sent a man 800 miles to take care of him. All right? It says this. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Anyone ever hear that one before? Yeah, okay. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. If he was near 2,000 years ago, he's near today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I'm just going to hold right there real quick. This is extra since I won't get to it in the sermon. Leaders, look what he says there. He's telling people to look at what they see and hear and practice. Now, every man in here, if you're a leader of the house, your kids are going to imitate you. Okay, moms, your girls are going to imitate you. So all of us are leaders in one aspect, but as church leaders especially, look what he says. Whatever you've seen or heard in me, put it into practice. That's a pretty bold statement. And the peace of God will be with you. Now, real quick, as we go through this, I just want to hit some things and try to make it simple as can be. The gospel is really simple. We make it complicated. First thing he says, if you're going to stand firm, first thing he says, you got to get along. Get along. Apparently, these two women, we'll call her E and S since their names we don't pronounce correctly anyway. Okay, Odia, Syntyche. We don't know what was going on. But apparently, they were leaders in the church because he said they contended by my side along with Clement, who we have possibly some writings of Clement. You're not in the Bible, but early church writings. But he says, now these are leaders, and guess what? Even leaders don't get along. I know that's amazing, elders. Okay? We know, you know, but he pleads with them. Something had reached him in the report with these people that he loved. And he says, the number one thing, listen, we got to get along. I have two sons. And you know what? Although they're the perfect pastor children, they don't get along all the time. And sometimes it was just, I don't care. I'm leaving. You know, just get along, boys. Get along. And that means someone's got to give. You know, so the number one thing in the church, and we can make it all fluffy and all this, and we need to pray together. We don't need, you know, we got to learn to get along. And you know how you get along? You just submit. I submit. That's how we get along. Sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. And I was wrong. It's not that hard, and it isn't worth it. So what if you're right and lonely? So what if you're right and you're unforgiving? It doesn't get you anywhere. Sometimes we just got to say, you know what? The Christ-like thing is to get along. So that's number one. Number two, here it is. Get happy. All right? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Friday night, I think it was Andrew Rye who planned a party, right? And it was at my house, right? Okay. So we ended up at our house, and my son Matthew had called me early in the day, and he said, John, you got to watch Convocation at Liberty. You know, they put it right online, and it's kind of a worship service. And I don't know if everybody's heard, but Toby Mack, he's a great artist. His son, 21 years old, died suddenly this week. And he had just had his first concert, and Toby had been to the concert and left Franklin, Tennessee, to go on his tour. And the next day he had to fly right back because his mother found their son dead. And Toby Mack is a graduate of Liberty, so it's part of the family there. And they had kind of a special service for that. But the young man they had here, and someone might have heard about it, his name's Cody Lee. I don't know if he won America's Got Talent, apparently. And he was born blind and autistic. And he is, if you just want to see something that's inspiring, he was there. He sang some songs. They brought his mom out. And one of the things his mom said is when first she kind of denied the fact that he was blind. And she kept putting off going to the doctor till he was 3 months old. And then she learned her son was blind. And that was really hard on her. Then a few years later, maybe by the time he was four, she realized not only was her son blind, but he was autistic. And the first thing she said she had to do is just learn to accept the fact, and she was going to give him a normal life, and she wasn't going to baby him. If you haven't seen any of that, just go to YouTube and look at him, America's Got Talent. You go to Liberty's website. The guy is a phenomenal musician. And when he sings a song, he sings exactly like that. And he cannot communicate, barely communicate outside of just singing. But it's just amazing. But she said the first key was she decided to accept that instead of continuing to ask why. And I remember a few months ago, we will all get stuck where you're at if you always ask why. You will get stuck if it's, why am I this way? Why did this happen? You know, the regrets. Why? If we continue to ask why, we will get stuck. Remember the sermon about Joseph? Yeah, oh, we remember that. John, I got it memorized. Right, I don't even remember it. Okay. But if Joseph would have asked why, he would have got stuck. But he continued to ask, how can I glorify God? Because see, every one of you, even with the abilities, disabilities, even with the disease and the shortcomings, and even in the horrible things in your life, if you say, how can I now glorify God that way? I asked my wife a couple days ago, I asked her a little bit, what if you found out someone you really, really, really admired and looked to spiritually struggled with the same thing you struggled with? What would that do for you? And she said, man, it would be amazing. You know, and I'm going to tell you, some of you think you're the only one struggling with someone, something. Someone think your marriage is the only one struggling. Someone think you're the only one that has maybe a rebellious child and things like that. But I'm telling you, there's some other great godly people that have that too. And that's why we're part of the church, because we come together and we realize, hey, I'm not the only one going through this, and I'm not going through this alone. And I'm just going to tell you the end. Here's the end. You want to know how everything's going to end? You're going to be in heaven forever. Now, that got an amen from Betty, but who did else get an amen? All right. Thank you, Betty. You're faithful. I can count on that. Listen, here's the end of your story if you're in Christ Jesus. You are going to be in heaven forever. Amen. That's the end. Whatever you go through here, it doesn't matter. That's the end. It's decided. All we have to do is be faithful to Him and grateful to Him. Now, because of that, I can go through it. I can get a tooth pulled because I know when that tooth is gone, it's going to be better. Amen?
Amen.
I can go through a surgery and I can go through all the healing. Right, Greg? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, sorry. You can't raise that other one. Because, you know, in the end, it's going to be healed. Whatever you're going through, and that's what he says. Rejoice, what? In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in the, but see, and we talked about that last week. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Whatever you're going through right now, it's not the end. Because the end is you will be with Christ. You will be healed. You will be eternally with him. Amen and amen. So be happy. And whatever you're going through now, you say, how can I use this to bring the joy of the Lord? Because I tell you what, if a mom that has an autistic blind child can learn to say, how can we use this to glorify God? You can use whatever has been given to you to glorify God. Amen? Amen. All right, be happy. Everybody say, be happy.
Be happy.
And when you're happy, you're the next one. Be nice.
Be nice.
Okay? Yeah, there you go. Be nice. Someone's heard this sermon. Yeah. All right? Yeah, how many have said that to your children? What does he say in verse 5? Let your gentleness be known to all. Let it be what? Evident. Let me tell you, if someone's met you on the street, would it be evident that you're on the way to heaven and you know that and you're conscious of that? If someone driving really slow in front of you when you're in a hurry to get to McDonald's for a sweet tea or a Dr. Pepper, okay? Is it going to be evident that it's not a big deal because you're on your way to heaven? If someone wrongs you, is it going to be evident? You know, here's the deal. It's pretty basic, the gospel. Since I'm on my way to heaven, and my only role here is in every situation and every time to glorify God, I should be gentle with people. Yet, sometimes we are grouchy. You are grouchy. How many have just had to apologize and say, well, I'm sorry, it's not you. It's just, it's the last straw. It's just, I have this much going on and I snap. Anybody ever say that? He just came in and had a little bit of mud on his boots. You know, and we're ready to call, you know, Brown and Crouppen. And it's sad, and it's this way, and I'll just say it's this way sometime in our home. If Laura comes home and the house is all clean and everything's in order, and I'm being really nice to her, how's your day, honey? Did you have a good day, honey? Here's your coffee. She's probably thinking, uh-oh. What did he do? Yeah. I'll pray for you, Gary. All right. Yeah. What did he do? Or what does he want? Guys, how many have done that for that new boy toy that you've wanted? Okay? Yeah, you know, our wives, don't be holy. And dinner's on the table and he's well fed, and then, you know, hey, what's this Cato bill? Or, or there's this or that. And before we get there, how many did it as a kid to your parents? You walk into your kid's room and the room's clean and you're thinking, oh no. Right? Uh-huh. You're thinking, okay, what's up? Okay. So here's the deal. Wouldn't it, now all that aside, and we know that we got some motivation there. What if we lived in such a way that we were so gentle and so nice and so serving, it wasn't a surprise? What kind of marriage would you have? What kind of home would you have? What kind of workplace would you have? You know, maybe the sermons just wouldn't be better in October because it's a man of appreciation, you know. What if they were good year-round, okay? But I'm just saying, it's simple, folks. And it's those things that people notice. We live in a cruel, dark world, right? We live in a world where people are impatient and selfish. It's not that hard to let your little light shine. It's being happy. It's being nice. And when we're happy and nice, it goes to the next one. Be thankful. He talks about prayer. Get thankful. Okay? Get happy. Get nice. I mean it right now. And get thankful. He says, don't be worrying about everything. Don't be anxious about those things. Don't have your heart and your mind just all frustrated so much that you're running red lights or you're just not able to concentrate. You're not able to think. You're not able to focus. That's the world it seems like we live in. Sometimes I live in that world. I'm just not able to focus at all. You know, it was just like the other day. I was looking for a title for the camper that we just sold. Hallelujah. Be thankful. But I was looking all over the house for it, and I was just like, I know I put it here. I looked in the car. I even ran up to my office, which it's always super straight, so I should be able to find it in there. You know, I'm looking everything for it. I spent an hour and a half, and I'm just like, I retraced everything. I even looked in Dad's car twice. I thought, well, maybe Dad took it down to his apartment, you know, and I'm looking everywhere. And so I go in. I said, Laura, where is my title? She goes, oh, I put it in the glove box of the car. Is that what you're looking for? I took a holy moment walk right there. I said, yeah. The woman let me 90 minutes of craziness, but because I was already so in the mind, I didn't stop. Okay? So listen, he tells us, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, whatever it is, a simple lost title, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your finances, in everything, be thankful and present your requests to God. So we go from mindless weirdness, unfocused worry to focusing, man, I'm thankful that I'm surrounded by a body of Christ. Man, I'm thankful that I can call six people. I mean, I know no matter what the situation is, not because I'm the preacher here, not because I've been here a long time, but because I have brothers in Christ here, there are guys I can call about any situation right now because they're my brothers in Christ. I'm thankful for that. You should be thankful for that. He says, be thankful. And then what happens when we quit worrying and we thank God and we give it to God? Here, God, this is what I need. He knows what I need. Sometimes he'll say yes. Sometimes he'll say no. But he says something really strange will happen. A peace that passes even what you can understand is going to guard your heart and guard your mind. Okay? So we need to be thankful. We don't need to worry. We need to take those things to God. We talk about victory, having victory. Take it to God knowing, hey, I might not get the answer I want right now. I don't understand why I'm not getting that answer right now. I had two people sincerely ask me this week about what about this? What if God doesn't bring this healing? Those were the questions. Ultimately, we know we can rejoice because we are going to be healed for eternity because Jesus died on the cross. And that's a promise that can't be taken away no matter what happens here. So we can be thankful. Okay? But we take those. And then the last one, he says this. Get right-minded. Get your mind right. You ever say that? I played enough sports that it's sometimes just get your mind right. I wish I would have been there. Told the Cardinals, get your mind right. Quit swinging at sliders. They're out of the strike zone, you know. Their mind wasn't right. They had one inning, so they thought they could swing at anything. It'd be a home run. Never mind. I'm still bitter. All right? But he says there at the end, and here it is, and we live. Listen, guys, gals, everybody listen to me. We live in a world where we're saturated by media. Some of you can't get away from it. Some of you right now are waiting to check your Facebook page. That's all right. We have to be careful because there is so much that is being thrown at us. And I'm not talking to just young kids. I'm talking to all of us. There's distractions. Relationships are suffering because we always want to talk to someone who isn't in the room. And then when we're with that person that we've been texting, when we're with this person over here, you know what we're doing? We're texting that person over there. Okay? So sometimes you're not going to hear back from me. Okay? Because frankly, I'm doing something a little more important with someone else. All right? And that hasn't happened. That's not a blank, you know, okay. I try to be available. But I'm just telling you, we're bombarded all the time. And now we are conditioned to be bombarded. And we're not being bombarded. We don't know what to do with our minds. Right? Because we're bored. I mean, I got kids that get on the bus, they think they're in a movie because they're listening to music. There's no musical score behind your life. It's kind of boring, all right? But I mean, we got to be careful. And that's why he tells them 2,000 years ago, and it's more important today. And I got to tell you, you need to do this. If you're going to stand firm, you have to have your mind set on the right things. Coryell, we got to visit a little bit. One of the things I love about this man here, he's always listening to sermons, okay? Spends a lot of time with a lot of dead animals, right? Okay? Yeah, makes dead animals look good, okay? That should be your theme. That should be your tagline. Coke's taxidermy, dead animals look good. Yeah. All right? But the deal is, whenever we're talking, I was listening to that sermon. Because you know what? When we're not doing those things, our minds are prone to wonder. You know that song, Prone to Wonder, Lord, I Feel It? You know that guy wandered away from the faith that wrote that great hymn. He died as an unbeliever. He forsook his faith. He knew it even when he's a Christian. And I'm telling you, we are prone to let our mind and our thought wander. And Paul gives a remedy here. And this is the last one. Listen to what he says, and I will reread it. It's so important. Quit thinking about the bad things. Quit watching the bad things. Quit dwelling on those. Oh, our country's divided. No, our country will only be united when the church is united. And guess what? No matter how divided this country is, we're not going to be divided here. This is your family. I don't know how much time they spend in the catacombs worrying about what the Roman government senatorial election was going to be. I honestly don't think they cared. Okay? And they were stronger for it. Listen to what he says. Finally, brothers, here's what you got to look at and think on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Listen, we need to spend time. That's why it's important you spend time in the Word. That's why it's important that you spend time with one another. That's why relationships are built. And when we spend time with one another, there's something that happens. When we spend time in God's Word, when we listen to God's Word, even praise music. And man, I'm just telling you, listen, I'm not saying all depression because there are things that happen and people have to have medicine, okay? I understand that. I'm not saying it's a cure-all. Don't get off your meds, okay? Anything like that. But I am telling you, we have a tendency to be depressed because we're not thinking on the right things. We're worrying about things that will never happen. instead of giving them to God, instead of taking that time. The good news here is you're all going to die. The good news here is you're all going to die. If you're in Christ, you're going to spend eternity. So, you know, the time you have left, let's just not, that's a fact that's going to happen, all right? You're not going to change it. Bible tells us you can't change that date. You can't change the number of hairs on your head. Ha-ha, jokes. Okay. You can't do any of that. But what I can do, I woke up this morning. And God, through good and bad circumstances, has made me who I am. And I can use that to glorify Him. And what I can do is control a little bit what comes in the eyes, what comes in the ears, so that my thoughts are great thoughts. So let's thank God that we have one another. It's an incredible thing that we have here. It's God's doing incredible things. We are making differences here in this community. We're making differences when we spend time together. The ladies, the guys, sometimes we're going to have a guys' night pretty quick. It's just going to be steak and potatoes. None of the veggies or those other things. And we're just going to have fun. Probably watch a movie that might not fit in. You know, we'll watch some war movie or something like that. But just to spend some time together. You're not going to know. It's going to be called the Not So Secret Secret Society. Okay? All right, but I'm just telling you, the idea is we need to do these things. We need to put them into practice, right? Get along with one another. Get nice. Get thankful. Get happy. And get your mind right. And Paul says, you do those things, you'll stand firm to the end. Amen? All right.